In West Virginia, a generation ago, the girl next door was much more likely to be a blondish, outgoing white girl from a prosperous background in Charleston, a house with a front porch. The boy next door was not likely to be from Pakistan and a practicing Muslim. But a few years back, Amar Ahmed and Anna Sale were prom dates after a friendship that began in the seventh grade. Our series, Uncomfortable Truths, puts people in conversation where they might otherwise not dare to go. And this submission is from Anna Sale, host of the WNYC Studios podcast, Death, Sex, and Money. Anna says she never really understood her friend Amar Ahmed's lifestyles and values, so she sat down with him and had lots of questions. For starters, what was it like to grow up as a person of color in a white rural town? Amar immediately got nostalgic.
I mean, it's funny. Like, I really think of it as kind of the good old days, like the good old days where race didn't seem to matter as much. And so when I think about it, I had instances in which my parent was called a name, like, you know, leaving in parking lot saying, like, going to go back to your country or something like that. But those are really far and few between. And I really think, like, you just really didn't think about race that much. And I'm actually happy to say that it didn't cross my consciousness that much, like not as much as it seems to be today, so prevalent.
In those days, Anna said a noticeable group of her student body was black and about as many were South Asians. And despite her friendship with Amar Ahmed, she had different views of these different minorities, views that she still doesn't fully understand today.
This is like really embarrassing to say out loud, but I can remember having a realization in junior high, like looking around in Latin class and realizing that the South Asian kids who were in the class weren't white, and it blowing my mind, like that they didn't have that default identity, which is so, it speaks a lot, I think, to how I always saw the black kids in our school as not being white, but the South Asian kids, it took me realizing like, oh, they don't walk through the world as a white person like I do. Do you remember what I got you for your 18th birthday?
I'm blanking.
So I got you, I put together this like 18-year-old kit, and it was all these things that you could have now that you were 18.
Ah, yes, I do remember. Yeah.
The two things that I remember getting for, since I was 18, I was able to purchase them. I got you either, it was either cigarettes or cigars, and I put it in the kit. And the other thing, because I worked at the bookstore in town, you know, that was like the artsy bookstore. And so I was like, I have to get him some pornography because that's what you can buy when you're 18. But the only pornography that the bookstore sold was this lesbian porn magazine. So I got you a lesbian porn magazine.
I do remember that.
I like look back at that and I'm like, was that horribly insensitive to like give that to my friend who's an observant Muslim and like to give him the lesbian porn magazine? Like, how did you feel about that?
You know, it's funny. Like, I think, you know, even amongst devout Muslims out there, there's many that aren't devout, but, you know, I would consider myself, you know, practicing. I think everybody's got a little bit, there's varying degrees, but there's a little bit of living parallel lives. So no, I thought it was fun. I thought it was a hilarious present. I thought it was very thoughtful.
Did you feel a change after 9/11, how you were just treated going about your daily life?
A little bit. I mean, I have tons of friends and my wife has tons of friends on Facebook, for example, that specifically like very insulting things have, you know, been said to them by strangers, by literal strangers. Things like people, you know, telling them that, you know, take that rag off your head, you know, you live in the United States now and things like that. And so, you know, it's just really insulting. And so I just feel like there's a lot of that these days. And again, it hasn't affected as much me directly, but definitely friends and friends of friends, like quite a bit. You know, in the last year, I mean, you know, there's weird stuff going on politically and everything. I mean, have you noticed either temporal difference then versus now versus just like, you know, a small town kind of West Virginia difference versus kind of big cities? What's been your experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, it's kind of comforting to hear that the way that you remember high school being just a time when like feeling innocent and like warm. That's how I remember it. And because I'm like, was I missing things because I'm because I was white and just wasn't paying attention to what other people were going through who weren't white, who I considered close friends, you know? I certainly think that if we asked someone who was a black kid at our high school, they would have a very different thing to say about what it was like to go to our school.
Yep, definitely. I think, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Why do you think that is? 'Cause I think I know maybe, but why do you think that is?
I think it was partially, I mean, I can remember there was a lot of identity around class at our high school. And so I think the white kids who were from basically the haulers that went to our high school, there was an identity around owning that sense of like, I'm not from these fancy neighborhoods, but I still go to this fancy public high school. And I can remember like someone flying, like waving a Confederate flag on a hill in front of our high school as sort of a like redneck pride kind of thing. And that's very racialized, you know, and that's threatening to African-American students. I think the South Asian kids who were in my class were in my classes, were in my honors classes. I can remember it wasn't until college looking around a seminar table and realizing this is the first time that I've been in the same classroom with an African-American student. And I don't know what the reason for that was in our high school.
Yeah, I mean, I think like, you know, South Asians, they just, yeah, it just wasn't, you know, we weren't really on the radar. You know, again, there wasn't that many of us. And I'll give you an example. Like, this was actually one of the very few times where actually there was like hostility or something negative, right? So this happened. I don't know if you remember, but it was student council. We had this competition, and I think the winning class, like 10th, 11th, 12th, got a steak lunch or something catered by Dr. Lowen or like Mr. Lowen, like the principal. And at that time, like somehow, I don't even remember if we were the winning class, but somehow I was in the role of like giving out tickets for this steak dinner. And I remember that like a not to be named individual, like this big fellow like in the, who was a year above me, he was like walking towards that where they were serving the steak dinner, and I was handing him my ticket, and he took the ticket, and he looked at me, he had this quizzical look on his face, and he said, "You's a fuzzy little fella, ain't you?" Like, I don't think he even responded. And then he was like, "Yeah, he's a fuzzy little fella from overseas." Yeah, he said, "But that's cool. Like, that's cool." Yeah. So then, yeah, they just gave him his ticket, and he just kind of, you know, went and got his steak. Yeah. And so like, there was, you know, every now and again, there was a little something that, like, hey, I'm different. Like, you know, there's an odd little interaction. But it was, you know, it was so benign, and it was so occasional.
Oh, Amar, this makes me want to hang out with you more. You feel like we're right in the same room. Amar, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Anna Sale is the host of the WNYC Studios podcast, Death, Sex, and Money. We want to hear from you, and we want you to participate. Visit thetakeaway.org and tell us who you'd like to have a difficult talk about race with. Could be a friend, a family member, a coworker. Next week in this series, Virginia Young, a reporter for WESA in Pittsburgh, talks with two members of the African-American community in that city. It's a conversation between a longtime resident watching her neighbors get pushed out by gentrification and a newcomer reflecting on how he benefits from those same changes. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.